Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Barnstable County has long led the state in the number of residents over the age of 65. On Martha's Vineyard, the over 65 population is expected to grow dramatically in the next 30 years, well above the national and state average of growth. While many of the needs of an older demographic overlap with other segments of the population, access to affordable health care, transportation, and housing becomes more immediate for those on a fixed income. Today, we're taking a closer look at housing options for seniors, what makes sense given financial, physical, and medical conditions. Joining us is Hadley Luddy. She's Executive Director of the Homeless Prevention Council. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Holly Bellabono, Executive Coordinator of Healthy Aging Martha's Vineyard. Hi, Holly.
Hi, good morning.
So, Hadley, you reached out to us because the Homeless Prevention Council was getting an uptick in the numbers of seniors reaching out for assistance. So when did you start seeing that uptick, and were there some common themes in what you're hearing from seniors with housing issues?
Sure. So we saw a significant increase from 2017 to 2018, where we saw 28% of an increase in people coming to us with the need for senior housing or supports around senior housing. And if you look at our numbers from 2005 to 2018, we went from 5% of our clients being seniors reaching out to us to now 22%. Mm. So a really significant uptick of people calling us basically without a housing option, either rentals that were ending or having trouble just staying in their home that they own and coming to us for solutions.
Mm. Holly, we mentioned in the opening that the Vineyard's over 65 population is expected to grow dramatically in the next 30 years, greater than the national and state projections. Do we know some of the reasons why the Vineyard numbers are so different?
It's partly because it's traditionally been a retirement area. People come from all over the world to retire on the Vineyard. Partly because it's a family area and older adults want to stay near their children and grandchildren. It's also a place where older people tend to be valued. Mm. And they're part of the community and they don't want to leave. It's a cure place where they can remain if they can afford it and if they can meet their health needs while they're doing it.
And for this region, a lot of people, you know, grew up vacationing here, you know, sort of this family home that's kind of gone through these generations and things have gotten a lot more expensive and those homes aren't as easy to maintain anymore as they maybe they once were. Holly, on Monday, Healthy Aging Martha's Vineyard hosted a housing options forum for seniors. What was the impetus for that forum, and what were some of the questions or concerns that you heard from Vineyard seniors around housing?
Yeah, it was a great forum. It was yesterday. We had about 100 people in attendance, a nice crowd. It was at the Hebrew Center in Vineyard Haven. We wanted to host the forum to bring awareness to colleagues, partly, and to the state and town representatives, Board of Select People, about the crisis. It's well known, obviously, but we wanted them to hear people's stories. And we also wanted to reach out to elders in particular to give them some information about what their options are, both for staying in their home, remaining as long as they can, and for leaving their home when they're ready. Mm-hmm. We had roughly 10 or 12 speakers talking on all subjects from home care and health management to digital technologies that can help people remain safe in their home, especially if they have Alzheimer's or some other form of dementia. We had people talking about homelessness. We had the MV Commission talking about zoning and bylaws and how to build accessory apartments or what the rules are. So it was a wide range of topics all related to home and home needs for elders in particular. Mm-hmm. And it appeals to not only elders, but their kids, so middle-aged people who are caring for their older parents. And it obviously affects grandchildren, too, because a lot of grandparents are caring for their grandchildren. There's a lot of intergenerational need. So when we speak about elders, it's really not 80-year-olds only. It affects the entire family and the entire community.
Yeah. Right. Hadley, your first concern is preventing someone from becoming homeless. When a senior arrives with a concern about housing, what are some of the first issues you evaluate about their situation?
Right. So we really look at what the immediate plan is for this person and really help to develop a budget and sort of assess sort of what's the situation. Do you own your home? Are there options to stay in your home and adapt it to be more affordable? Are there some other supports that you could get to make living in your home manageable? We also help people to figure out whether they can apply for senior housing and to start that process so that they can get on senior housing lists, which can take quite a while to get
into. Yeah, I was
going to
say, it's a long waiting list.
It's a really long waiting list, but the sooner people apply, the more likely they will have a chance of getting in at some point. Mm-hmm. And we are actually really in the process now of encouraging anyone at risk of losing their housing or not 100% certain they can remain housed where they are to go through that process of getting on a senior housing list. Worst case scenario, your number comes up and you don't need it.
Yeah.
Right, and you don't need it, but it's a good option to have. And we go through different options. It was neat to hear Holly talk about the forum because we have a program called Let's Talk About Tomorrow. And we have done this now in Wellfleet and Harwich. And we have another event coming up in Brewster where we basically take this topic to the public and encourage anyone over the age of 55 to come in and chat with us, or it could be their son or daughter or a loved one, and really look at what the options are, just to sort of paint a realistic picture of, if you do not have secure housing, here's what might be available for you. Here's why you should be thinking about it. And not to scare people, but really just to have an honest discussion about the fact that there's so many people in this situation who are looking at their future and trying to determine what housing options are available. And similar communities like the Vineyard or the Lower and Outer Cape, where you've got very, very limited year-round affordable housing. Mm-hmm. It's really critical to get to the masses and have those conversations.
And when you say secure housing, that is such that term, it implies that there's a lot going on. You can live in a very secure home. You can have a year-round lease. You can think that you're doing everything correctly, and then something can pull the rug out from under you and people don't expect it. You could have a stroke, completely unexpected, or you could live in a year-round rental, but suddenly the owner of the home sells the house and you have to move out. So there are a lot of different things that can happen on the turn of a dime, and people aren't prepared for that.
I'm wondering, too, if sometimes people wait maybe longer than they should. I mean, it's sort of a generational thing where it's like, you know what, I'm not going to ask anybody for help. I'll do this on my own. You know what I'm talking about. And then it gets to where they have to finally come forward. And maybe it would be easier if they came forward a little bit sooner.
That's exactly what we're trying to have people do. We had a really interesting case this year of a gentleman that was brought to us. He's in his late 70s, was brought to us by his neighbor who had been being a support to him. And he was able to maintain his home and be there, but she started to realize that things were falling apart, and had been able to help him for a bit to just deal with some of the logistics of house maintenance and things like that, but realized that things were going out of control and also that he was dealing with some dementia issues. Mm-hmm. And it was exactly that kind of a scenario where he was lucky enough to own his home, and by coming in to Homeless Prevention Council or going to any organization that does this work, you can sort of put the pieces together to be able to maintain that type of housing and housing security with the supports in place. But if it weren't for the community at large sort of getting involved and either encouraging somebody to come in or being willing to ask for help, that wouldn't happen. And then you've got someone in a really dangerous and precarious situation.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about the cost of living in our region. Aside from housing costs, do you see seniors impacted by higher costs of living here? I mean, on the Vineyard, the islands especially. I mean, we complain about it here, but on the islands it's even worse, right?
I don't know the numbers of the cost of living, but I do know that it's much higher, and it's a deterrent for a lot of families who are trying to get by on salaries that aren't commensurate with the cost of living. Mm-hmm. A lot of the salaries that people find here for full-time work are what you would find elsewhere, if not even less, and then you try to make that work on a Vineyard cost, and it doesn't work. Yeah.
Right, and the same thing in the Lower and Outer Cape. It's very similar, and we really refer to our clients oftentimes as being rent burdened or burdened by housing costs, and rent poor. Basically, you're putting everything that you've got into your housing, and then trying to keep up with the cost of living or finding transportation or affordable child care or you name it. It's more expensive, and it's really a challenge for people to stay in the communities that they love.
Yeah, you mentioned working with people with their budgets. What other support services do you offer seniors besides the housing aspect?
Right. So we will really look at the sort of comprehensive plan around your budget, you know, really sitting down with people to get a sense of everything that they owe in terms of their debt, every possible option where they can cut costs and come up with some savings. There are a lot of people that come to us that are eligible for assistance programs, and they were never aware of that.
They didn't know it, yeah.
Right. And so that's another critical piece, whether we're helping people to sign up for fuel assistance or food stamps or making some connections and helping them realize that they really should apply for these resources and that they are in a situation that we want to be able to help them access those supports and that that may make all those the difference. Sometimes it's a couple $100 a month that's right. keeping someone really on the edge. We're reviewing medical bills. We're, again, encouraging people to apply for housing as soon as we possibly can. We occasionally explore the option of reverse mortgages in the case where it's the right option for folks. We encourage people to think about moving in with relatives or friends, getting a roommate, and again, really looking at that budget as the place to start to find a way to live within the funds that you have available to you and to make that work, if it's at all possible, while you come up with another plan.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we've been doing at Healthy Aging on the Vineyard is working with the VTA to address transportation needs because a lot of resources that are available on the mainland aren't available on the Vineyard. For instance, certain dentist options or certain physicians, gerontologists for the elderly population, they just aren't there, and people have to travel off-island to Boston or to the Cape to access these services. And so the VTA has gotten a grant to where they provide transportation to eligible seniors to drive them to the Cape or to Boston on certain days of the week. So it's a very valuable service, and we need more of it. We're trying to help the VTA expand that grant so that they can offer more of a weekly or daily service. Right now it's just once a week, but that's a big thing, is the transport.
Sure. And we're really lucky to have the councils on aging that we do throughout the region here. They provide a lot of services, right? For I mean, you work with them on the Vineyard.
Yeah, we do. We work with all four councils on aging. There's one in Edgartown, Oak Bluffs, Vineyard Haven, and then the Up Island serves the three Up Island towns. And they do a great job. Mm-hmm. They're a tremendous resource for elders. They do everything from fuel assistance and medical assistance. The thing that I've been told recently by the outreach workers at the Council on Aging especially is they don't know what to do about housing. Mm-hmm. They have seniors coming to them asking for housing help, and they feel constricted because there are no options other than homeless shelters.
Right. This is the same thing that we run into at the Homeless Prevention Council. I mean, it's been really sobering to see a case manager, you know, come into your office and talk about the fact that they're getting calls from people in their mid to late 70s, learning that the house that they've been living in is being sold and they want to know where they can go. And basically our case manager saying there is no place to go. Mm. I mean, that is a really sobering fact. And again, it again points to this whole issue of getting out in front of whatever we can do, right? I think we're all in the situation of not really having that many resources to work with, but whether it's getting out ahead of it or, you know, even trying to collect the data that I think then drives future policy discussions and planning around how we really address the fact that we have this huge retiree population, and this is just going to increase. Yeah. This is just the beginning.
Now, there are low-income senior housing options on the Cape and Islands, many of them run by nonprofits and subsidized by state or federal grants. And Holly, there are several nonprofits that offer low-income senior housing on the island. There's Hillside Village, Island Elderly Housing. Is the demand for low-income senior housing outpacing the number of units on the island at this point?
It absolutely is. At our forum yesterday, we had speakers Lucinda Kirk and Ann Baird from Island Elderly Housing. They presented on where, you know, the status of Island Elderly Housing. They have 11 different projects or properties. They're all at capacity. They have a waiting list from between 3 and 6 years.
Wow.
There's a tremendous need. And obviously so Island Elderly Housing accommodates seniors of a certain income level and people who are disabled. So once you meet those eligibility requirements, then you can get on the waiting list. But they have close to 200 people, I think, maybe more on the waiting list, and it's a 3 to 6 year wait.
And that's the same thing on the Cape.
On the Cape, and in most cases, I mean, 3 years is a great scenario and very unusual, and more likely to be 5 to 10 years is the typical window. Oh. So it's
866-999-4626 is our number if you'd like to join the conversation this morning. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after break. You're listening to The Point, and we are talking about housing options for seniors. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. In studio with us is Hadley Luddy. She's Executive Director of the Homeless Prevention Council, and Holly Bellabono, Executive Coordinator at Healthy Aging Martha's Vineyard. Before the break, we were talking about low-income senior housing. But then if you make a little bit too much money, you might not be eligible for something like that. But there are other programs, Hadley, that you might be eligible for that you may not know about?
There can be. I mean, I think that we find that a lot of reluctant seniors, and really anyone in general that doesn't want to reach out to an organization like Homeless Prevention Council, is concerned that they make too much money, even though they are really rent burdened or house poor, that they don't want to reach out for support. And we really encourage people across the boards to think about coming to an organization like ours, because even if it's something as simple as looking at your budget and figuring out sort of which priority you're putting to paying off debt or different bills or how you're juggling items, even if you're not eligible for specific programs, it's really critical to take a look at that, because that can add up so quickly. Mm-hmm. And we find so many people just hesitate to reach out because they're just making an assumption that they won't qualify, or, you know, they've never thought of themselves being in a situation where they have to ask for help. And we just really encourage anyone in the situation to come forward. Yeah. Because it's such a broad.
And we're very lucky to have the food banks that we do. I'm just thinking, you know, we've talked with the Falmouth Service Center a number of times about people who were volunteering and now are coming for assistance, who never imagined themselves in that situation. But that can make a huge impact on your budget.
It's interesting. We've been doing 2 days now of outreach hours at the Family Pantry in Harwich, specific to trying to really reach people that are dealing with food insecurity. Mm-hmm. And finding this big uptick in the numbers of people that are, as they come through the pantry, realizing that they can talk to a case manager and realizing that they do need some more support, and that it's a good opportunity to take a look at that, because there is such a growing need.
Mm. We've been working with the Island Food Equity Network a little bit. They've reached out to us because in their work of getting food to people of all ages, they've discovered that there are a lot of isolated seniors who aren't getting the services they need and aren't reaching out. So we've created a friendly visitor program, mm-hmm. or a planning group, really. It's in the beginning stages. We're trying to figure out how many isolated seniors are out there, whether they, you know, rent or own their home. It doesn't matter. How to reach them, what they need. Mm-hmm. It's really important.
Yeah, and you mentioned the case with the neighbor. I mean, right. You know, kind of neighbors can be very helpful in this area.
Our neighbors are critical, right? And in this particular situation, I'm not sure what would have happened to this gentleman if he hadn't had that support. I mean, he was really living in a situation without adequate heat, the house in terrible disrepair, and dealing with some dementia. And, you know, it was someone that was wise enough to make the connection and come into an organization like ours to get that support that made a big difference.
And, of course, the need for affordable housing isn't just an issue for seniors. People in all age brackets struggle to find affordable and market rate housing in our region. When does it make sense to look at the issue of affordable housing for all versus affordable housing for different segments of the population? And what are the challenges of doing that?
Well, I think on the Lower and Outer Cape, our towns are really actively looking at this issue across the board and looking at it as an entire population issue. I mean, this is just it's a pervasive problem, and I think it has to be looked at in its entirety because mm-hmm. it's so significant. You know, the senior issue becomes an issue because there's such a growing number of seniors, and I think that particular population, there does have to be a specific solution for that problem as well. But we need affordable housing and workforce housing really across the board.
Yeah. And the housing needs for seniors can be different than those for a younger demographic, right? I mean, you're looking at things like maybe no stairs, adapting it to whatever their physical needs might be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One thing that Healthy Aging has been doing is working on assessments and modifications for homes. The outreach workers at the Councils on Aging and our public health nurse, who is hired by all 6 towns, will automatically do safety assessments when they go into a person's house, whether they're doing it in conjunction with the fire departments and fixing smoke alarms, or the public health nurse is doing it as a health assessment. They'll do a safety assessment, too, and find out, does this person need a railing on the stairs? Do they need extra lighting on the stairs? Do they need a grab bar in the bathroom? different small to medium modifications. And then the question is, well, who does this work? Often there aren't carpenters available or they charge too much. So we've been working with the MV Builders Association and with South Mountain Company to create a core of carpenters who will be available to do this work. And we're creating a pilot program of 8 to 10 residences across the island in the next few months to see how it goes and to get an idea. What are the costs? What are the barriers? How does it work?
That's great. Yeah,
that is a great idea.
There's also an opportunity there to, if you make that adaptation to the existing housing situation, to potentially get a roommate, right? Mm-hmm. That whole idea of sort of the community coming together and getting people in similar situations to find a way to cut costs and be supports to one another. And there's also some models of congregate housing. I know that we've got some in the Lower and Outer Cape that are interesting as well, where there's basically a shared housing model with some supports available. It's a very small room situation, but there's a shared kitchen and other resources that make it more of like a community that's both affordable and manageable and for people all in a very similar situation.
And obviously there's social benefits to that. And what about multi-generational communities? I mean, I saw an article, I think it was in the Boston Globe recently, where they were doing that, I think in Cambridge, where you had a senior kind of paired up with a young professional.
They're doing a lot of home sharing like that. Yeah. There are several companies now, especially in Boston, who are pairing university students in particular with elders. And on the Vineyard, we talked about this yesterday at the forum. How can we adapt that to a rural model? How can we adapt that when there aren't necessarily college students around, but there are younger people? And then also, like you just mentioned, Hadley, pairing peers. Once you have a house that's accessible, whether it has a ramp or the railings that it needs, then you can invite someone else to home share with you. And it could be a disabled person or a person with special needs, or it could be another elder. And that decreases social isolation.
Right.
And it increases.
And cost.
Right.
Yeah.
And it adds stability.
Yeah.
Right.
But finding the right person can be tough too, right? You want to find the right person. Because it could be a nightmare, you know, you could, if you don't have the right roommate.
Right. So a lot of these companies that specialize in this matchmaking process, they recommend a trial period where you can get to know each other.
Yeah. 866-999-4626 is our number if you'd like to join our conversation. Maybe you have some thoughts on what we're talking about this morning. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. And when I was in my early 20s, I lived with my grandmother for a while, and I thought it was so cute. She'd introduce me to her friends as her roommate. So last month we did a program about the new short rental tax that includes an optional tax towns can use for affordable housing. Do you have a sense, Holly, of what towns on the Vineyard are considering this tax and what impact it might have on increasing affordable housing units?
Unfortunately, from what I've read in the newspapers the last few days, both Edgartown and Oak Bluff selectmen and finance committees don't approve of the housing bank, whereas most of the people I've talked to do. It's an idea where the money would be coming from the taxes from the tourists who are staying in these short-term rentals. So it's not a local tax. It's not, we're not being assessed this tax. It's coming from external monetary sources, but would be put into a pool from which affordable housing units could be built. So it's a long-term solution. So a lot of people find it to be a really positive solution. Unfortunately, it's not getting the town support yet that
yet.
It needs.
Yeah, like yet. Okay, what about
My understanding in the Lower and Outer Cape is that it may be too late to be considered for this year. Mm-hmm. That was the last I'd heard. But I think any funding options to increase housing are always terrific.
The trick in my mind is that it's taking money for a short-term rental. Mm-hmm. And short-term rentals are already part of the problem.
Right.
That we need the year-round rentals. So it's actually putting the solution onto the existing problem, which is a good thing. It's taking what's causing the issue and transforming it into a possible solution.
Right.
Yeah. We have a lot of homes that are vacant this time of year. I mean, statewide, I think we're probably one of the, you know, was it something like 70-something% in some of the Vineyard towns that are vacant in winter?
According to Mass Healthy Aging Collaborative, there's a chart that shows Gosnold at 85% and then Chilmark on that island at 78% vacant homes, Truro 75%, Edgartown 73%. That tops the whole state.
Yeah. Not likely to become rentals in the winter either, are they?
It's a challenge. I mean, we talk to people about it all the time and always, you know, when we're out publicly trying to engage supporters and just help people become aware about the housing issues, trying to really encourage people to think about doing more with their homes and all of that. But it's a tough one.
And then you have the issue of summer comes and you have to move.
Right.
And there's lots of people who do that shuffle every year.
Right.
So, Hadley, are you recommending that some of these folks leave the Cape? I mean, are people actually leaving and going elsewhere in the state?
There are people leaving and going elsewhere. We realize that's the last option that people want to explore, but there are sometimes situations where we can talk with a person and figure out that there is a good family solution or another living opportunity that is elsewhere that does make the most sense for them. And that can take a process, that you have to go through with folks, but it's really a last resort. Mm-hmm. Again, we really feel like, at the core, so whether it's the Vineyard or the Lower and Outer Cape, you should be able to live in the community mm-hmm. where you've spent most of your life for many years.
And where you contribute and work
absolutely.
And volunteer. And it's a huge loss when people must move away.
Some seniors might own a home, but again, be struggling financially, as we said. So if they sold their home, they might be better off. But selling a home, especially if it's been in the family and they want to pass it along to the next generation, is a really difficult decision. So how often do you find this to be the case, and how do you help somebody in that situation?
So we've actually been dealing with this situation very recently. We had a person come into our office whose husband had passed away, and she couldn't afford to maintain the house that they owned together. And our case manager spoke to her about senior housing and about getting on the senior housing list, and she was very insulted and mm-hmm. offended and walked out and left, gave it some thought, and came back in and said, I think you're right. I think I need to do this. And she was very lucky to be able to get very quickly into mm-hmm. senior housing because her husband had been a veteran. And so there are some priorities that happen in terms of placement. And it all worked out, and she was able to sell her home. But that's a very typical example of what will happen sometimes with a person who comes in very reluctantly mm-hmm. exploring an option.
Marty is calling from Oak Bluffs. Good morning, Marty.
Good morning. I'm calling because I'm part of a program that works with the Greater Boston Food Bank, and we're starting to distribute food to people in need, and we work with this group so that I can get the word out.
Okay. Marty, what we'll do is we'll have Jenny take your phone number, and we'll give that to Holly, and she can call you after the show. Thanks.
Terrific.
Thanks for calling. All right, Jenny, if you want to grab Marty's phone number, thanks. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We sort of touched on this, that some towns are passing zoning bylaws that allow for accessory apartments. That would be helpful, right? For some folks, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. It was mentioned at our housing forum yesterday by the commission who mentioned there are a lot of options for tiny houses or guest houses, whether they're attached or detached. Different towns have different bylaws. Someone asked in the audience actually at the meeting, what about trailers, which is a pretty common way on the mainland and the rest of the country to deal with adding an extra residence to your property. On the island, there are so many restrictions that a trailer is not allowed, but tiny houses can be. So it's just a matter of getting creative and also figuring out the space requirements to make it ADA compliant or at least serviceable by elders who have these extra needs. Mm-hmm. And again, that can be helpful not only for elders who want their family with them, but also for the workforce housing, for caregivers or nurses who want to support this family. They can be right there on the premise.
Again, it's a great idea, and it's in existence in a lot of places. I think it's really the regulations and the rules around it that sometimes prohibits people from getting involved. It just seems like too heavy of a lift or sometimes too much of a cost. So again, we have to look at how we can make it easier for local homeowners to make this opportunity mm-hmm. available to either home share or to add accessory units.
Costs associated with permitting and building accessory apartments. So if a senior has a space and desire to build an accessory apartment, but not the financial means, are there financing programs that could help them out?
There are. There are some out there, and there's some places to explore that. So people can certainly reach out to Homeless Prevention Council or call an organization like the Housing Assistance Corporation to see what different options are available.
So for people who need extra assistance in daily activities, maybe shopping or light housework, can it work to take on a boarder in lieu of rent, as somebody who might come live with you to help you out with different things? Is that something you talk about?
It is something that we've talked about a little bit. Healthy aging is exploring that kind of home share exchange idea where you don't necessarily invite someone to live in your home to pay rent for the money, but you ask for companionship or transportation and driving or cleaning the house or mowing the grass. And that can be very valuable to people who don't necessarily need the income, but they need other types of support.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's another one where you want to be sure you've got the right person.
Right.
Yeah, that can be tough. All right, Eleanor is giving us a call from Nantucket. Hi, Eleanor.
Hi there. I am calling with a question that may be silly, but has it ever occurred to anybody to have some sort of a clearinghouse to connect people who are struggling to find affordable rentals on Nantucket? This is a perennial, mm-hmm. almost irresolvable problem. With the elderly who want to stay in their own homes. I know that on Nantucket, occasionally people luck out, and this works out. I just met a woman last night who said, my employee housing is being taken away. She's an auntie taking care of a nephew. She works really hard, two jobs. The employee housing was subsidized but not free. She can't find anything even remotely affordable out there, this person. She's reaching out to everybody she knows, hoping that word of mouth will work. I'm just wondering if there's some sort of a way, I haven't looked into this on Nantucket in particular, but in general, to network people who are struggling to find affordable rentals they can't afford to buy with the elderly who want to stay in their own homes, who aren't quite at the point yet where they need around-the-clock medical care supervision. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People would need to be vetted, I realize that, but I just wonder if that might be a partial solution to the problem that would solve, you know, two birds, one stone type mm-hmm. of thing. And I'm happy to take my answer off the air.
All right, Eleanor, thanks for the call. It's a good question.
It's a great question, and it's a great idea. And I know that there have been a couple of different attempts on the Lower Outer Cape to do just that. The challenge really is about the matchmaking, mm-hmm. right, and the coordinating of how that relationship is going to work. I think that could be a great area perhaps where towns could also get involved in terms of could there be some sort of a clearinghouse program or, you know, a place where people could all come together to share and connect with people in situations that were looking for that if we made it a much more available conversation
maybe
to have.
Maybe even the councils on aging or something.
Maybe the councils. Yeah. Maybe something just that's much more sort of community-driven. Mm. And I think actually takes probably organizations out of it to not be really in the matchmaking zone, but really allows individuals in those situations to find a way to connect. And we haven't yet found what that answer is. It sounds like you've been looking at that on the Vineyard.
I've looked on the Vineyard and I've also looked on the Cape. There's a place called Home Share Outer Cape.
Right. And it's actually not active.
Home Share,
yeah. Yeah.
Apparently it's defunct. There's one called Nesterly that focuses on metropolitan urban areas, which has been very popular and successful. And I think the need that makes that so successful, that makes an organization or a clearinghouse, in Eleanor's words, important, is that organization focuses not only on the matchmaking but on the payment. Mm. They help streamline the payment process from the rent to the homeowner. They help guide the trial period. They help with any sort of conflict resolution. And if there was an organization or a group of people who wanted to start something like that on the Vineyard or on the Cape, it seems like that would be a natural wayfaring process.
It would be nice to look at Nesterly or one of the really successful national models
and adapt it.
Yeah, and adapt it and mm-hmm. really find a way to make that work and find the players to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Eleanor has brought up a great point. I mean, we met a young lady last year on Nantucket working in the coffee shop. She had a necklace that said, I need housing. I mean, that was trying to spread the word.
Yeah.
And our reporter, Sarah Mises-Tan, did a follow-up, and indeed she did end up having to leave the island because she could not find affordable housing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a big problem. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking about housing options for seniors with Hadley Luddy, Executive Director of the Homeless Prevention Council, and Holly Bellabono, Executive Coordinator at Healthy Aging Martha's Vineyard. 866-999-4626 is our number. Maybe you have an idea to help us solve this problem. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We talked about making modifications if you know to make your home safer, and you talked about a program, Holly, that you you're working with maybe some area carpenters to try to help that along. Are we doing anything like that on the Cape, Hadley?
For home modifications?
Yeah.
We do a lot of work, and we've had people this year who've come in who needed their home modified and were able to stay in it because of some supports that were available through different funding organizations, mm-hmm. or even adaptations to improve things like heating, which then cut down on costs. Right. Which allowed them to stay as well. Sure.
There's also organizations like Neighborhood Falmouth, and I know there's one on the Vineyard that I can't think of the name.
TRI.
Yeah, where you know, there's a cost involved, obviously, but they will help you with, you know, odd jobs and shopping and things like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I was thinking TRI is the Resource Inc., and they do large home modifications, like they'll replace all of your windows or they'll repair your roof. There is a place called... Vineyard Village
that's
at Home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Where they bring in a corps of volunteers to do shopping and errands and caregiver support.
Yeah. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Brian is calling from Yarmouth. Hi, Brian.
How you doing there?
Great.
So I got to admit, like, when you guys were bringing this subject up, you know, you're talking about the island and stuff like that. You know, I've always been kind of like, you know, ambivalent about it. I've been kind of like, well, you know, that if you want to live on the island, that's kind of your problem. But the problem is it's actually creeping onto the Cape, and it's pretty bad. Like, me and my wife and my kids had to move this last year. And when we were just trying to rent a three-bedroom house, you know, almost every single house for rent, people were trying to get, this is in Barnstable and in Yarmouth, people are trying to get $2,500 a month,
three grand
a month.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's just crazy because it's like, well, what do you, I was like, okay, so why don't I pay for your car payment, your house payment, and your boat payment while we're at it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's just ridiculous. It's like, what do you, like, who can't afford a house for three grand a month? Like, what bank's not going to give you a loan for $3,000 a month?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, Brian,
people are, it's just absurd for people to try to gouge people this much, because it's like there's not a bank in the world that wouldn't give somebody a loan, no matter how bad your credit is. They're gonna give you a loan for three grand a month. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, Brian. Thanks.
So people need to.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Brian. And Brian brings up a good point. With every house or apartment that's out there for rent, you're up against a couple hundred people, right? I mean, when you're trying to go, and even like when my daughter was looking for an apartment, we were looking at something like $1,000 a month. Plus, I wouldn't let my dog live in some of these places.
Right,
you know,
right.
it's a really tough rental market.
It's a really tough rental market.
Yeah.
And that affects the seniors when, you know, somebody is retiring and they need to downsize because their home is too big. So looking for something smaller, the smaller options on Martha's Vineyard are usually really poor quality.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to find just a normal 2 or 3 bedroom home on the small end that has insulation, or it has running water, or it has an actual basement
mm-hmm.
that's not a muddy crawl space.
Yeah,
you know.
And mm-hmm. for a lot of people who've bought their homes, they were a lot cheaper when they purchased them. And now to sell your home, where are you going to go, right? I mean, the housing costs are so expensive that selling it may not be the best option because, you know, what can you afford to, you know, when you're downsizing? David in Oak Bluffs asks if you can describe the vetting process for the low-income housing program, and he also wonders if the land bank is involved in some way.
I am not an expert in the low-income housing program. That was shared with us by the Island Elderly Housing Organization. They're online mm-hmm. at islandelderlyhousing.org. I do know that they're for seniors of a certain income or people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing on the Cape. And certainly there's an application process and income verification that mm-hmm. people have to go through.
All right. Can technology help us age in place?
Yeah, there is some fun stuff out there. There's everything from smart refrigerators that will talk to you and tell you what's in your fridge and when it's going to go bad and what the temperature is, to smart doorbells, so that when someone is sitting in their living room and someone rings the doorbell, their picture comes up on the TV screen and
wow.
they can see who's at their door without having to get up. There's also monitors that people with Alzheimer's or dementia can wear on their wrists or their ankles to help keep them safe if they're prone to wandering. So there's a lot of tech that is available to help you live at home, especially that's helpful on the island when there's an elderly person or couple, but their family lives elsewhere. That sort of remote technology is at least a beginning point in helping keeping them safe.
Right.
Yeah. I'll say, and also from the social aspect, you know, the FaceTiming with the grandkids and things like that, that, you know, you can check up on what the family's up to. Yeah, exactly. Chris is calling from Barnstable. Hi, Chris.
Hi. How is everybody doing this morning?
Great.
Good.
I was just listening in about the conversation about the cost of rental properties.
Mm-hmm.
So I own a few myself in Barnstable and Yarmouth. I just heard the guy talking about the $2,500 to $3,000
mm-hmm.
for rent, and I just had a unit on that was a beautiful unit for three bedrooms. I couldn't find anybody that was willing or capable to do it. And I was going well under market value. But additionally, I don't understand why people are focused in that area. Why not Wareham? Why not the rest of the South Coast where property value is so much cheaper? Rent is so much cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we did touch on that, Brian. Yeah, there are some people who, you know, they've lived here all their lives and, you know, they don't want to move, and then others will look at that option, right, Hadley? Yeah,
they do.
I find it interesting as a reflection against the conversations that have been had lately on the morning news, on your guys' morning news about the difference in the way that FEMA reacts to mm-hmm. the loss of housing for a homeowner versus a renter.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it interesting that, you know, individuals like the call you just took, the gentleman complaining about the cost of rentals, don't recognize the risks involved for people who have rental properties, especially in the state of Massachusetts, where the landowner has very little leverage mm-hmm. over a tenant if issues exist.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Chris, thank you. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate your perspective on that. One of the other topics in your housing options for seniors, Holly, from that forum was the greenhouse options. What is a greenhouse option? Tell us what that is.
So currently Windermere is the facility associated with Martha's Vineyard Hospital that is for assisted living and it's a skilled nursing facility. It's woefully inadequate as far as the facility itself and the number of beds available. We need a lot more. Healthy Aging has been working with the hospital and with Navigator Elder Homes of New England to create a plan for a new facility which would follow a greenhouse model, which has been used across the country. I think approximately 300 exist around the country. And it functions as a skilled nursing facility, but it looks like a home, and it's much more comfortable and it's much more private. People aren't forced to share a bedroom with two people in a bedroom separated by a curtain, four people to a bathroom. Instead, it's larger, it's more homey, it's more comfortable. But another idea with this model is that the CNAs who provide care also provide oversight and management of the facility, including everything from laundry to cleaning, and that reduces the number of external workers and contractors that are needed for the facility, so it reduces costs. Part of the plan for the Martha's Vineyard site, there's a 6-acre parcel of land owned by the hospital in Vineyard Haven where they want to build this facility. It would be a 72-bed facility, and it would include workforce housing on site.
Wow.
So it's a big step.
Yeah. Are there any greenhouse residents in our region now? I mean, you mentioned there's like about 300 across the country. Are any of them local?
Yeah, there are. There's one in Rhode Island, a big one. There's one on the Cape somewhere. I don't know where. Mm-hmm. This would be the first one on the island, obviously.
Right. I'm thinking of when you're an apartment or rental property comes up for rent. The thing now seems to be, and everybody wants online applications, right?
Mm.
So that can be difficult for seniors who, you know, are not, you know, tech savvy, if you will, and maybe don't quite understand the whole online process. Is that something that you help with?
That is something we definitely help with. And again, it's a reason for people to reach out. And especially when we find someone that's coming to us saying, you know, I've been renting the same house for X number of years. It's being sold. I have to be somewhere. Where can I go? You know, we're making or coming up with the realization that clearly they don't know what the resources are. So therefore, if we can sit and go through with them what the options might be and go through the applications and contacting landlords, even showing them how to go about that. You're right, though. There's a huge technology barrier. And in some cases, people just don't want to go there. Right.
Yeah. Everything's online now, isn't it?
It really is.
For you, Holly.
Oh, yeah.
And the competition for rentals when they come up, is that an issue you're finding when you're trying to help a senior find housing, that there's a lot of competition for these?
Yeah. Many, many people all looking at the same possible rental. So it's a matter of luck. It's a matter of sort of positioning yourself and pitching yourself as a potential candidate to rent. But it's really, really challenging. And
it's not just elders. It's all,
everybody.
It's everybody. Everyone. Yeah.
Everyone's looking for that same spot.
Yeah. So how do you, counsel somebody on how they're having better chances of being the one selected?
We talk a lot about looking every single day at listings, right? Like being really up on top of what's becoming available, making a really good case for yourself, right? How you present yourself as a possible tenant makes a big difference. But a lot of it is just being aware of and responding as quickly as you possibly can to a rental situation.
What happens when you aren't, somebody's on this waiting list, their house is sold and they have to move out? And they have nowhere to go.
They move in with friends. They couch surf and go from one house to another. Unfortunately, there's situations where they end up in shelter, in an emergency shelter, or become homeless. Or they leave the Cape and move in somewhere with a relative or a friend that lives elsewhere. So there are those situations where people really, have to get rid of their stuff and put some things in storage and take what they've got and head off hoping to find an option.
Yeah. And of course, the Homeless Prevention Council, you're trying to prevent homelessness. And maybe you can touch on this a little bit. It actually is more cost effective to prevent somebody from being homeless than it is once they're homeless. It costs more, if you're trying to get them into housing and stuff, right?
Oh, without a doubt. We did a report last year where we looked at the cost to shelter a family per day in Massachusetts is $130. And the average length of stay in a Massachusetts shelter is 323 days. And if you looked at the cost of what that includes and the fact that HPC, for example, only had one family in 2017 that entered a shelter, that ended up being a $16 million savings to the Commonwealth if those people had all otherwise, those 388 families had become homeless and entered shelter. So I think that big picture approach is really, really critical in terms of policy and planning and looking at the fact that housing really is everything, right? If you don't have a roof over your head and a place to live and a place to house the workforce that wants to live and work locally, to the other caller's point, it's really tragic.
Yeah. And so are there other co-housing communities in our region that are specifically for seniors and affordable? I mean, that's the key we're here, right? I mean, there could be housing, but affordable is the key word.
So at our housing forum, we had John Abrams, who's the CEO of South Mountain Company, which is a builder on Martha's Vineyard. And he was part of a group of people who, a couple of decades ago, established the co-housing property on the vineyard. It's the only one that I'm aware of on the island. And it's, I think he said, somewhere between 16 and 24 homes, families, multi-generational. Some people are single, some people are couples, some people have children. And it's not specific to seniors, but it is an alternative living space and living idea where people build smaller homes that only have the basics in each home, but then they have a common house that has a bigger kitchen and it has a meeting space and it has extra bedrooms so that when anyone who lives in these houses has guests, they can stay in that common house so that they don't have to have a guest room or a third room built into their home. So it reduces the cost of each home while still providing all the amenities and services one would need.
Do we have anything like that on the Cape?
Well, so the housing developments up that we have, for example, with the Community Development Partnership, you'll see developments where there is housing for seniors, affordable housing, and subsidized housing all in the same properties. And that tends to be really the way that properties are also being developed on the lower and outer Cape and across Cape Cod, with keeping in mind that you're trying to have a really broad, sort of diverse group of residents that are all there and hopefully supporting each other and creating a community.
So in our last 45 seconds or so, the big key here is to inquire early, right?
Inquire early. Reach out. Don't be afraid to come in and ask some questions. The Homeless Prevention Council, again, has this Let's Talk About Tomorrow workshop. Our next one is coming up at the Brewster Ladies Library on April 24th from 1 to 2 p.m. And you can go to our website to see others that are planned in the future. But just pick up the phone and ask, and don't be afraid to inquire about your housing options, and just to be sure you've got a really good plan in place if you are aren't 100% sure that your housing is stable.
Right. All right. So we will put links to the Homeless Prevention Council and Healthy Aging Martha's Vineyard at our website, capeandislands.org. Hadley Tlady and Holly Bellabono, thank you both for coming in and doing the work that you do.
Thanks for having us.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.